And there came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. So there came two things. One, a rod. Now, a rod could be a spanking stick, or a rod could be a scepter in the hands of a king. So the statement is that Jesus will come out of the root of Jesse. That's from the background of David, David's dad. So it isn't David, it's the son of David. So Jesus is the son of David, not Solomon, though he is the Prince of Peace. But he will come forth, and he will hold in his hand a rod of iron, a rod that disciplines, and a scepter, a royal scepter in his hand. So he is to be the coming king. And the reason it grows out of the roots, or it grows out of the stump, is because when you're proud, when you're strong, when you're smart, when you're full of yourself, God has to cut you down. He doesn't cut you down because he doesn't like you. He cuts you down because he loves you. He cuts you down because that's not his will, and you'll perish. And so he always cuts the tree down on anything he grows. So in other words, the natural tree inside of all of us, your natural brain, your natural will, your natural desires, your emotions, your feelings, your imaginations, you. The natural you has to die. The natural you has to be cut off. So when God does a work, death is always part of his plan. Resurrection is always the purpose of that plan. So he judges so that he may give hope. If the little eagle falls out of the nest, at first it can't fly at all. It starts flapping its wings. It's nervous. And then all of a sudden it discovers it has big old wings because the mother actually pushed it out of the nest. And then he's so impressed with himself that he begins flapping his wings, and he's excited. He's just going wherever he wants to go. But pretty soon, because he's flapping, he wears out. He tires out. And then he starts nose diving down to the earth in a rather direct manner because he's lost all his strength. And when you think you're strong and you can beat against the wind and you can do things other people can't do, that's when you're about to discover you're not God. And you're not all that strong, and you're not all that smart, and you're not all that good. And all of a sudden, that little bird's thinking to himself, you know what, I'm about to hit the ground, and it's going to be hard. I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to be done. It's over. It's finished. And then it remembers something. Mom's up in the nest, and Mom can fly faster than me, I think. And so the little bird lets out that little noise. Help! Mom! And the mother bird, who knows the elevators, quickly goes down on one of the currents that she's learned, which are invisible. They're not visible to that little bird. But the spirit of that mom is, I'm going to save my child only when my child is ready. And when you're about to hit the ground, because you'll cry out all along the way, but you're about to hit the ground, you really cry out desperately like, ah! It's like, this is it. Not good. I thought I could do it. And so your brains, your goodness, your strength, your capacity is no good. And that's happened to everybody here, by the way. Your tree's being cut down. You've been eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking you knew what to think and say and do and want and so on. You're wrong. And so just before, the baby cries out, and the mother, who knows where those currents are, goes swiftly down and is able easily now to spread her wings, come down rapidly, and it wasn't any effort at all because she went with the wind, with the spirit. And she puts her wings underneath the baby, who has no resistance now, will not be flapping and beating her. And all of a sudden, the baby learned something. Mom knows best. Mom is smarter than me. Your parent up in heaven, your father in heaven, knoweth that you should not eat of that tree where you think you're somebody and you're something. So it's talking about that God is going to raise up a king for us, a ruler who will not destroy us, but will show us that we could be destroyed if we operate on our own. And that is that tree that you're eating of, called the knowledge of good and evil, that's really the tree called idolatry. Because you are idolizing yourself, your mind, your will, your emotions, your capacity to work things out, because you're self-reliant. You need God only for eternity, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't trust Him, you trust yourself. On a day-to-day basis, though you love God, you actually think, you know, I can handle this on my own. I think I know what I'm doing. I think I'm good enough, strong enough, smart enough, and therefore, I can handle it. And that baby was so excited until it began to flounder. I'm just telling you that story as a parable. That's what this is talking about, is you're going to need a king who comes forth out of the stem of Jesse. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, when you say rest, that could be Howard Johnson's or some motel or something you're staying in, or hotel overnight. But you don't stay there. This rest is talking about abiding forever. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon Jesus, upon this king, upon this coming out of David's house, Jesse's son. He is going to have the Spirit forever. And there's three things to that Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He'll have that. Number two, the Spirit of counsel and might. So he'll not only have wisdom and understanding and good counsel, be able to will a thing, but he'll have power to do that which he knows by wisdom is the right thing to do, which he doesn't have in himself. The Spirit of knowledge, but he's talking here not about natural knowledge, but about spiritual knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. If you're going to rule, if you're going to do things in this world, you have to be able to rule in the fear of God. You cannot have a responsibility if you think it's on you. You are not able to pull it off. You can labor, but you'll labor in vain. God wants you to learn to trust Him in everything. Not only love Him, but trust Him on a daily basis. Now, I don't want you to show your hand, but I ask you this question. How many here love God, but you also trust yourself on a daily basis and don't trust Him? You don't really need Him. You don't have to call out to Him because you think you can handle things. So don't raise your hand. But that is where your Christianity is in your heart, but it's not in your soul, and your soul is going to dictate your life. So your soul is what needs to be crucified, that you learn you can beat your wings all you want, you can flounder all you want, but until you cry out to God and say, God, I was wrong. I do not know what I'm doing. I need your mind. I need your will. I need your emotional stability, so that I can do your deeds and not my own. And so dying to self, self-denial, crucifying your flesh is the key to victory. That's when you learn where the wind currents are. So he's going to have this Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing of his ears. So a judge only does one thing. It's really simple to be a judge. You just have to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, true and false, and that's all. And if you'll read not necessarily the local judge's decisions, but if you'll read a Supreme Court decision, it is not what you think at all. It may say on the surface such and so and such and such, but if you read it very carefully, it's probably telling you something quite different. For example, if you overthrew Obamacare, and the Supreme Court would not come out and say Obamacare is unconstitutional. What it would say is it would pick out one point and say, this part, forcing people against their will when they have a natural right, is wrong. And that's all it would do. So it would never come out the way you want it to come out. So you have to realize that a judge only makes a decision. This is wrong, this is right, and it's clear. And based on that, you're talking about higher law jurisprudence. Higher law jurisprudence means you don't make decisions based on some statute. And that's the way most lawyers and judges do it, by the way. It's wrong. You have to make decisions based upon higher law considerations. There's six of them. First of all, there's the Bill of Rights. Then there's the Constitution. Then there's the Declaration of Independence. Those are all fundamental laws to our culture. And then after that, there's the Common Law of England that we adapted. And after that, then there's the natural law written on every man's heart, which is perfect justice. But perfect justice means the law cannot make anything perfect. And when it's imperfect and there's a deficiency in the law or an ambiguity, something that, if it were followed, would not produce justice, then equity comes to its rescue. Now, a judgment is, in the Hebrew language, mishpatim, making judgments, or mishpat, to make a judgment. But it must be made in justice, that is, in equity, mesharim, so that it's not just made on the surface of a letter. You know that in your Bible, there are black letters written all over this page. But there's more white on this page than there is black. So the letter of the law killeth. In other words, if you only read it according to the letter, you're not going to get justice. It kills justice. That's why Jesus was crucified. But there's more white on here. So that's called white fire. This is called black fire. So the letters give you the black fire, which killeth. But the white fire, the spirit of the law, that's why I said he's going to have this spirit of wisdom. That means when Jesus makes a judgment, it'll truly be just. When men make judgments, they have to make it underneath those other higher laws. So it has to be according to the Bill of Rights, which accepts out these things. It has to be according to the Constitution, which implements the law, according to the Declaration of Independence, which lays out the principles of the law, which is to do justice under the God of nature and nature's God. In other words, you have higher laws above you. So that's why the founder said, we're building our nation unlike any other nation. We're going to build this nation on a Judeo-Christian principle, understanding, which doesn't mean you implement it. It just simply means that's your foundation. You want to build an economic house or a family or your own life, build it on a right foundation. Or you want to build a political system, build it on the right foundation. So everything is, what is your foundation? What's your basic principles? What is it that guides you as an end to which the means must be adjusted? So you find a means to an end, but maybe your mean won't reach that end. But you have to be clear on the end. Let's say the end for the present administration was to redistribute your wealth. Well, that would be an economic end and a political end. But I don't consider that the end of our government. I consider that's a false end, not true. So he built on a wrong foundation. Therefore, he needs to be overthrown. Why? Because it's not going to be just. Because the end is not just. Therefore, whatever means you come up with, that won't be just either. So we have to agree, and we don't have any agreement. I can just tell you right now, there's no agreement between the economic policies, the political policies, the social policies, or the religious policies. So we have nothing in common. We cannot even talk. It's like the Americans couldn't talk as patriots to the Tories. There was nothing in common because Britain had the mercantile system. We had free enterprise. The Brits had, you know, the Anglican religion. We said all religions should be free. They had an established church. We had a free church. They had a different kind of setup where there was a king over everybody and then, you know, a bunch of nobles and then some poor bums on the bottom. We didn't have that. We said all men are equal. So we set up everything different to their social, political, economic, and religious system. That's why we didn't break away. We were not rebels. We didn't form a revolution to break away. We formed a revolution to go back to where the wheel started. So when you turn a wheel, a full revolution, you go back to where you started. England had already gone astray. She was no longer heading back to where she started. She had abandoned her foundation. So the problem with England, that's why we had to take the common law and adapt it before we adopted it. We had to kick out king thing, and we had to kick out primogeniture, we had to kick out entail. We had to kick out a lot of things that were feudal incidents of a failed system, just like today. We're in the same boat. So this king will be perfect because he will found everything on a rock. You want to build a house? A house divided against itself won't stand. Right now, as a nation, we're fighting each other. Even within our parties, we fight each other. Everybody's fighting, contentious and adversarial. Even in churches, they're fighting, you know, what's the gospel? It's to do this, it's to do that, so on. I love fights. I really do. Because they drive me to Jesus right away. Because, like, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. Help! Ah! You know, I cry out, Mama, help me. Get down here. And anyway, I won't tell you any stories, but this is real stuff for me. This is not like preaching some doctrines or teachings. This is the way I live on a daily, continual basis. Yesterday, I thought I was finished. I thought, that's the end of it. This is the last. And I prayed a prayer. Ah! God, help. Could you do a miracle? Because I'm about to be slaughtered. I'm about to be finished. And he did. But, you know, it's like, I was like, I didn't believe when I even saw it. Like, it was so unbelievable. It was miraculous. But God wants all of us to learn to cry out to him for your foundation. The foundation is spiritual, not natural. Nature and nature's God are not the same. Nature is that our God is not just nature. That's just his left hand. But he also has his spiritual right hand. So we have a foundation in not only nature written on every man's heart, but we especially as Christians, Judeo-Christian, we have more than that. We have a spiritual law, the white fire. We have that which is not written. Reading between the lines. If you read between the lines, you'll pick up the intent, not just the letter. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So this king, whoever he is, will have the spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom and understanding and so on. Now, what he's saying here is he's going to come out of the Davidic family, very particular, very historical. This is not a Buddhist, Hindu kind of universal religion. This one is very specific, comes out of history. It's not man-made. God made it in time, in space. That's why he sent his son down. And he shall make of him quick understanding with the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, superficial, by appearance. Too many of us make decisions because we're still in charge eating of the tree. We make decisions based on our own brain or on circumstance or on feelings or on just wanting something. Don't. That's eating of the wrong tree. You have to go to God. You have to go to God. Cry out, God, help. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I was about to do thus and so. What do you think? Well, God will not bless your ideas. God, I'm about to do this. Could you help out? He won't do it. I wasn't praying that God would help me not to be slaughtered. What I was praying was, I want to do your will. And it's exactly what happens. No effort. I didn't have to work at it. I was listless, meaning I had no energy or anything, because I thought I'm going to be slaughtered. And this will be the end. It changed my life. But it didn't happen because God heard my prayer and answered just as I had prayed that very day. It's so miraculous, it's incredible. But we have a God that does that. And so he won't go by what he sees. Remember, faith cometh by hearing. He won't even go by what he hears naturally. He has to have spiritual ears. We have to have ears that hear heaven, eyes that see heaven. What's going on in heaven today? And I believe what's going on in heaven is not what you see in the newspapers or what you hear. By the way, I was in the papers. Did you all see that? Did anybody see that? Yeah. And so they quoted me, you know, so there it is. That's what's said. But the point is that I believe God gave me what to say and what to do, and though I had a prepared script, I didn't even look at it. I just simply spoke from my heart. And it won the day. It was powerful. And instead of me going down, I actually prevailed. I believe God is doing something bigger than just what men squabble about. You're right, you're wrong, this is true, this is false. I don't think we know until we get back to this foundation. In other words, I'll say it this way. This country, this nation, this state, this city, whatever, will fail unless we build on God's spiritual foundation. So I don't believe economics is first. I'm not a Marxist. I don't believe that you can just, you know, run your government the way you want to on positive law. All positive laws are derivative laws, which means they're subordinate to the other six above it. So you want to make sure it's not included in the Bill of Rights. Like, for example, churches are in the Bill of Rights. Therefore, there should be established only religious liberty. There should never be the government telling the church what to do. Today it does. So that's in the Bill of Rights. So that should be accepted out. You should never make a law regarding that. Congress shall make no law, but neither should the state of Texas nor anyone else. Leave it alone. It belongs to God. Get your hands off. That's the Bill of Rights. Then it must pass muster. In other words, you can't make a law, an ordinance, a statute in this federal, state, or local government, a republic of laws, unless it meets all those six laws above it. So the first one, Bill of Rights. Second one, the Constitution itself, which is just the implementation of the principles found in the Declaration. There's three more, which are subordinate to the common law of England and equity. And if you read carefully in the Constitution, it'll say law and equity. That means mishpat, tzaddik, and it also means mesharim. So you have to read it in such a way that it not only has the white, but also the black together, so that true justice is done, and every judgment of that judge is so accurate, so perfect, so true. You have a natural law written on your heart, and it's perfect. Well, let's say someone bites your hand. Something tells you that's wrong. There's something inside of you naturally written there, inherently, like, that was wrong. You shouldn't be biting my hand. And every little child knows that. You're going to have a brand new baby. You bite its hand, it'll let out a little noise. Don't. That is evil. And how does that little kid know? He isn't even taught any English yet or anything else. You know, how does he know? Because it's written on your heart. There's right and wrong, and it's perfect. In other words, you always know, you're demeaning me. You're not respecting me. You're not honoring me. And everybody knows it. And you can bury it. You can hide it. You can suppress it. You can do what you want to it, but it's still there. And it will indict you someday when you come before the Father. And he'll just judge very simply. Just see what your heart's like. That's your foundation. So your spiritual foundation is the key to your family life, to your economic life, to your political life, to your social life, to everything there is in this world, if it's not built on the right foundation. Today, we're not arguing about whether this government is right or that government is right. We're not arguing about, you know, the best means to get there. We are arguing about the foundation itself. Now, I want to say something about that. If your ends are not the same, your means will not get you to another end. It'll get you to the end you're aiming for, if it does. The founding fathers, every one of them, without exception, even the ones that argued with each other, never argued, ever, about the ends of government. They always knew exactly what it was. Very simple. You should do justice. Anything wrong you shouldn't do, the right things you should do. Government will force you when you do the wrong thing, but it leaves you alone to do the right thing. It never makes a law to make you do what's right. They were all agreed on that. Nobody felt that government should force someone against his will, or force someone against his conscience, or force someone to put out their garbage this way or whatever. They didn't feel that was the purpose of government. They felt the purpose of government was just stop you from doing evil. Don't injure your neighbor. So it's a negative. And that's because the higher laws above the four I already mentioned are nature, written on your heart, never violate that. And that one says, do right, don't do wrong. Or God. Now, God is not natural. Our God is spiritual, not natural. And therefore, his left hand is natural. He rules the whole world with his left hand, but he also rules us, not everybody, with his right hand, spiritual. So nature's God is the God that made nature, left hand, but the God himself is above nature, beyond nature, supernatural, super nature, beyond nature. So we have a king coming who showed up 2,000 years ago, and we killed him. All of our sins killed him. Can you say amen? We all, even to this day, we love God, but we don't trust him. We love God, but we just don't trust him on a daily basis. We eat of the tree, idolatry. And that leads to immorality, and that leads to injustice, and that's why we're in a mess. That's why our families are falling apart, and that's why our morals are rotten, and that's why, you know, everything. And you'll never get out of it until you cry out to God, God, help. I'm not able to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and figure out what good and evil is. You have to tell me what's good, what's evil. Now, this king that is talking about, it says this, but with righteousness, that's tzaddik in the Hebrew, dikaiosune in the Greek. With righteousness he shall judge the poor, mishpat. He'll make a, in the Greek language, it's krina. So he's going to make a krina or a mishpat decision with righteousness, in other words, to do justice, and to reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. So to reprove with equity means to use equity to make sure that the black letters do not do injustice, but save them from that, redeem them from that, keep them from that. And that's what happened yesterday. And that's why I was, you know, why I actually prevailed rather than failed, was because I used equity rather than law. I kept the law, I stayed within the law, but I went higher than the law, higher law jurisprudence, by appealing to equity, which is the natural law written on every man's heart. But I also had assistance from God. And I believe the battle was the Lord's, and I shouldn't have won. I should have failed. But when it came out, Clay was there, and many of you were there. It was powerful. I was shocked because I thought the other team would win, and I would not only lose, but I would be excluded forever. But God, in his wisdom, I believe the right thing happened, because I was the only one in the battle that didn't hate one and then love the other. I was the only one that loved all of them. I didn't want anyone to lose. I didn't want to exclude anybody. But each of the others wanted, they would want to exclude me. If I had joined the other side, they would want to exclude me. Because they have little litmus tests. If you don't follow those litmus tests, and you're out. And so it's swarm, take over, exclude. No enemies. I mean, no prisoners. You know, you'll get to be a prisoner. You're gone. Well, it didn't happen that way. I actually prevailed and gained great, you know, it was awesome. It was powerful. So he shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. It won't be superficial. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. The poor don't have anyone to judge righteously for them. And reprove with equity. In other words, they'll make sure that the meek of the earth actually are protected. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. All Jesus had to do to Satan or to his enemies was just speak a word, and they would have all been gone. He had all the power in the world to exercise his power, but he restrained himself because he said, Father, what should I do right here? I think they're about to kill me. Should I try to get away? Should I run? Should I scream? What should I do? He said, no, just relax. Just relax. Just rest. Just be quiet. You're going to be fine. And so Jesus did exactly that. He let them crucify him like a lamb before the shearers was dumb. He said nothing. He did not defend himself. He allowed his enemies to triumph over him, which I would have done yesterday. If my enemies had prevailed, I would have said, fine, that's good. I even told Peggy in the morning, I said, Peg, I think this is my last day. I'm going to dress up real nice because this is it. And that's it. You know, and I'm happy for it. It's not a big deal, but you know, your program is at issue, not mine. I'll be free, but your program is. I thought you wanted to build your church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You know, be good to help me out, would you please? And so I believe, Brian, that God prevailed, but then had all these enemies on the other side that lost. But I went to every one of them, all the leaders, and I said to them, look. Why can't I think we have the same goal in mind? Maybe not. But shouldn't we meet together and talk? Maybe we'd learn to trust each other. And, you know, then my group will hate me. But even so, why don't we have a meeting? And they all agreed to do it. So that's going to take place at some point. Maybe we could heal Tarrant County. Maybe we could heal the whole county. Now, what's in the papers is everywhere in the nation today, wherever it happens, one wins, the other loses. And all over Texas, the same thing. Travis County, Bear, all these counties, Dallas. So we're the only major metropolitan area in the state that's still red. All the others are blue. And so that's it. I mean, if you're in a rural area, you might still be red. But right now, there's problems everywhere. They're trying to take us over. We're trying to da, 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 da. We're right, they're wrong. I'm the only one that says, why don't we all get along? Why don't we all win together? Because we got a bigger enemy out there. We're not even arguing there about the means to the end. We're arguing about the end. Whether the purpose of government is to redistribute my wealth. Whether the purpose of government is to take away the fruits of my labor. Whether the purpose of government is to tell me what I should believe, when I should believe, and how I should believe it. I think I want a government where liberty and justice for all is. So don't we all agree on that? Why do we have to fight each other all the time, waste all of our energy, and so on? Well, one reason is because nobody gets together and talks. They yell, they scream, they shoot arrows at each other. But I have a feeling that we're very, very close together. And so I asked the leaders, do you want to get together? Yes. We'll see what happens. It says here, with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Jesus could have, with just a word, said, I need about 20,000 angels right now. Conquer. He could easily, he didn't even need the angels. But I'm just telling you, he could easily pull down legions of angels and have saved himself. But he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let me be slaughtered instead of my enemies. The way to destroy an enemy is make him a friend. The way to eliminate an enemy is to make him your friend. That's why we not only love one another, love God, we even love our enemies. We love them, meaning we care for them. We don't think we're better than they are. We want to help them. And I believe that's the spirit which God is looking for. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf, now listen to this, because this has never happened in the history of the world. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. So here's a little lamb, and here's a little wolf, maybe a big wolf. And they lay down together and snuggle up. That never happened. But here God is saying that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Hi, come on over here. Lay down here. I will devour you. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That no one has ever seen that. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Right now the cow would be feeding and the bear would be eating the cow that was feeding. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Never happened. This is impossible. This is a picture of the future to say someday on earth, justice will prevail, truth will prevail, righteousness will prevail. Therefore, when you make a move today, line it up with that. Do what is right. Don't do what's expedient. Don't do what, you know, you could do to win, to prevail, to get your way. And so I didn't do anything yesterday to get my way. I just simply spoke something, knowing that 3/4 of the people, maybe 9/10 of the people, wouldn't even understand what I was saying, and they didn't. But I didn't do it for that reason. One lady came up to me from the other side that we were in dispute with, and she just started yelling at me, "You are evil!" and I think she was serious, because she was very agitated and was screaming at me. You are just like a politician. You lie, you know, and so on. So she just, you know, was right there. I could tell she was very sincere. And, you know, I'm used to Peggy doing that, so it was not a problem. So I wasn't at all disturbed by that. I loved it. I thought, you know, here's a lady that actually believes she might survive this afterward. And, you know, so she's going to go ahead and say, I thought you were an honest person. I thought you were fair. You are just like all the rest of them. She just kept going on and on. So I explained, well, you know, your problem is this. You don't see the difference between the merits of a situation and the procedure, which must take place. Fair procedure is what's happening. That's what I'm talking about, not what you're talking about. Ah, that's just talk and you blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, by the end of the day, that lady came up to me again. And she wasn't angry. This time she was smiling. She was happy. You see, God can do miracles. We don't defend ourselves. We don't attack the other person. We pray, God, take care of it. I'm not going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what's right and wrong. You do. So I'll let her slaughter me. I'll let her yell and scream, because she was happy about doing that. And that went 10 minutes. I couldn't even hear anything in the whole room, but I heard her. But then God sent somebody who was a friend of hers. And that friend said to her, you know what? He's right. You're not right. You're not even listening to what he's saying. He is correct. Wow, that was like a miracle right there. So anyway, God fixed it all up that day. And so all the people that, you know, were very angry at me actually became, you know, became to say, well, maybe we can trust you. So that's good. It opens the door. Because I said, you know what? You have never bothered to find out where I am. And when you characterize me, it's not true. I want to know where you are, but you are running from me. Don't hide. I'm not against you at all. I think we're on the same side. Well, then why didn't you do this? Well, you know, because right now this is not the time or the place to talk like that. You know, there's no time to explain everything. Why don't we sit down in a nice atmosphere and have a few hours to talk about all the fears we have and all the illusions we have about where each other is. And then you solve political problems as well as spiritual problems, as well as personal problems, as well as family problems, as well as economic problems. There is so little trust today because we're building on foundations that are totally non-existent. How do I know what the other person really believes in his heart? I can't judge by appearance. I've got to find out by spending time with him. The more you talk, and this is what they hated me for, the more you talk and discuss, you actually gain wisdom and you gain trust because you realize, oh, I thought you were saying this. No, I'm saying this. Oh, I didn't even know that. I was defending myself because I thought you were going to exclude me. No, we thought you were excluding me. No. So I think we'll get somewhere, but it doesn't matter. I don't have a stake in it. All that matters is you don't use your own wisdom. You don't use your own power. You don't use your own brains. How many here use your own brains and wisdom and power and goodness and so on, and you don't get anywhere? So don't. Well, no, I didn't mean you should raise your hand, but I'm just saying, don't. Don't eat of that tree. That's God's tree. Let God eat out of that tree. He knows what's good. He knows what's evil. He knows when to do it, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. He knows everything. Just call on him, cry out to him, God, help us, because this could be the model for the rest of the state, maybe even the rest of the nation. And I believe that. I totally believe that. I believe I'm here specifically for that reason. And by the way, we did have the lieutenant governor here yesterday, David Dewhurst, who said, this is the best and biggest convention in our state, our convention. He said, I've been to all of them, because he has to go around to all of them. He said, this one is not only larger than, but it's so well behaved. Over in the other part of the city where we had District 9 and District 10, not 10, but 12, they were arguing all day long. And the other one, you know, just ended it right off the bat. And it was over. So justice is only done when you love the other person enough to listen and not impose your views on that person and then write them off. But keep listening. People have something to say. The majority should rule. The minority should be heard. And it's only right that we don't just exclude Jesus from our conversation. Listen to him. He might be the only one that's right. He is the only one that's right. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. That's a snake that bites and poisonous. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. That's a bunch of spiders that are not good. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. This has never happened in the history of the world. It isn't happening right now. But I believe this is the future. And I believe we're heading for that, because that's my goal, is to go there. I've got to figure out a way to get there rather than to get somewhere else. So I know eating of the tree of idolatry, that tree is not going to work. Self-love is not going to work. I know I've got to eat of the right tree. And that is Jesus, the tree of life. He is the tree that grew out of that stump that is truly the Son of God and the Son of Man. And I believe that he has something to say. Now I'm going to close with this. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, whatever day this is, which shall stand as a sign to the people. To it shall all the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This is what he's talking about. Peace. true peace, not just outer peace, but inner peace, where you have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And that's what I want to see on earth. I believe that there is a perfect way, and I believe we can't do it here, but I believe we should aim for it. In other words, I forgive people that aren't perfect because I'm not. I was late today. Perfect example. I could explain how I'm very innocent because I have lots of stories, because I had a good 45 minutes to think about what I would say when I came. But Peggy attacked me at the door and I forgot all my stories. Where were you? I thought you were dead, you know, whatever. But I'm very much alive. I'm just bad. So. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, in other words, Jesus is the son of David, which shall stand for a sign to the people, and it shall be to it the Gentiles shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And, last verse, it shall come to pass in that day, whenever that day is, when this super incredible thing is, in that day the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, etc., etc., etc. Now, I believe that this could be Exodus, first time, when he delivered his people out of Egypt, and then Jesus would be the second time. But I also believe that might not be the case, that it actually could be that the second time has a second time inside of it. In other words, the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, because this didn't happen. Jesus announced this kingdom of God and said, "Behold, the kingdom of God's at hand." But he didn't actually perfect it, and even to this day it's not yet perfected. I believe he's talking about his second coming, which now is upon us. And I believe that we play a role in that. I believe that Jesus coming back soon will all be judged with right judgment, and I believe that equity is going to prevail so that the law doesn't destroy, but the law is made to perfect according to the principle and purposes of God. The reason the law was given was not to destroy you, but only destroy your sin, to destroy Jesus, who then forgives all your sin. So you can sin, not supposed to, but you could do it, and God would forgive you. How many know we've all sinned? Everybody has sinned. You sin in a thousand ways. You don't get to decide whether you did or you didn't, by the way. Only God is the judge, and God said all have sinned. So that means all have sinned. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you want. That's the way God says it. He wrote that down in his book. We don't judge with our own emotions or our own thoughts or our own circumstances. We judge with this Bible right here. This word of God, that God says, "I exalt my word above my name, unless my word is greater than my person." When I say something, you can count on that as though I were personally there. Because my person's tied up in this, I completely rely upon this. If you rely upon this word, you're relying upon me. Don't eat of the other tree. This is the tree of life. That's the tree of death. That one will kill this county, will kill this nation. Let's eat of the tree of life. And there were so many miracles that happened yesterday that were so incredible. I just like, thank you, Jesus. And one guy was standing there, and he was on the other team. And he said to me, "I am so discouraged from what you just did that I'm just going to quit. I'm just, you know, it's always this way. You guys always win. We always lose. You know, you're no good." And so he was ready to quit. And I said to him, I said, "Well, I don't think that way at all. I love this kind of thing." "Yeah, because you won." "No, that's not why. I'm not at all happy about that. I want to overcome that." "But you're discouraged because you have no vision. Because you don't have no foundation." "But I have a foundation that said good will prevail. And I don't care if I see it or not, I'm going to do it. If I just do it alone." And he then agreed with me and said, "Okay, let's just the two of us meet together." I said, "Anytime, anytime, we'll just talk." Because I believe politics is nothing. Government is nothing. I think it's all about people. It's all about one-on-one. It's all about people getting together and understanding one another and finding out even the bad people, even the terrible people, even the people you can't get along with, they're people for whom Christ died. I don't have any enemies. I don't have Muslim enemies or Hindu enemies or Buddhist enemies. I don't have any enemies. witchcraft enemies, homosexual enemies. I don't have any enemies. I only have people for whom Christ died. Let's talk. Let me share what, you know, what God has put on my heart. If you don't want to, I'm not going to force it. I don't force what's right. But if you want to, so he stuck out his hand and said, okay, we'll be friends. Because you don't know me and I don't know you. But from this hour, we could come to know each other. If you want. I said, I want. So that's powerful. And I believe that's how you win a victory. Little by little. Small things. That's where the kingdom of God is built. And you can stand before, you know, crowds of hundreds and thousands. But the reality is always one-on-one. That's the reality of the church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. All right, let's have a couple of testimonies and we'll be done. Sorry that I was late. All right. Praise God. Amen. It's powerful. That's what this word is for. It's to encourage you. It's to bless you. It's to set you free. Who else? Who else? Jerry. Yeah, that's God. It's totally God. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean...